The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely...
Me!
Miss On A Bike.
You all right?
All right, bud.
Yeah, I'm good.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Are you?
Yep.
What have you been up to?
I've just started a new business, another one.
Really?
I know, right? Yeah. You know, like you do.
When you bounded in here going, I've got a business, I thought you meant your old one. I didn't realise you had a new one.
I do mean my old one. But I've got a new one as well.
Have you?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, you little tiger, you.
I know, right? What I loved was I was buying the domain name in the car going from A to B. I wasn't driving. Stephen was driving. And there I am going on. I'm like, it's up. I can get the .com. Right, done. Boom.
Right.
And then you go, and you get a little bit excited because then you buy the .co.uk. You buy the .co because you think it might just be. So you start spending lots of money.
Before you know it, there's 47,000 top-level domains.
Yeah, for sure. So I've just bought all the domain names. But I don't want to tell you anything about it yet. But it's really interesting that you just literally go, right, that's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going. Domain name, get it done. Then I need a website. Then
it's funny you should say that because I've been on a domain name hunt as well.
Why? What are you doing?
No, I'm not telling you. Anyway...
Is that because I'm not telling you what my domain name is?
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Stop it.
The thing is, I found the perfect domain name for the company I wanted, and it was free. And I just went to click
Who
on it.
Who gives a free domain name?
Free. It was available, I mean.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I just went to click on it when I noticed the price. It's 5,800 quid.
It must be a good name, though.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I thought mine was a good name.
Yeah.
But it hadn't gone.
Right.
So maybe there's no business in it.
Yeah, maybe you spelt it wrong.
Do you know what I mean? I thought, am I wrong in the wrong business? Am I wrong in the wrong sector?
So you're not telling us what it is then?
Well, no, because it's literally, I've only just bought it.
Oh, okay.
And it's really to do more of the online programme that we've got coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get it out of you before the end of the show, don't you worry.
I can't keep my mouth quiet, can I?
No, I
literally just blur. Anyway, so it's exciting. And what I love is the fact that if I'd done this 5 years ago, I would have been like thinking about it. I'm literally there. I'm like, yep, that's done. Boom, in, done. Boom, move on. Right. And that's what you said to me, you've come in today really busy. There are so many decisions I've made this morning. Some right, some wrong. Some I've made a massive error turning up late for somebody, or I didn't have the key to close something. And you just go, right, I'll ring this, do that. That skill... and practice. And also what I do is leave it back there as well. I don't bring it with me now. So I'm not thinking, oh, I've let everybody down or I've done this at night. We've dealt with it. That's the error. That's the, you know, that's the right thing to have done. Right. Move forward.
Cool.
Yeah.
How's your book coming?
It's good. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I keep saying the beginning part, but I keep saying the introduction part.
Aren't you supposed to have finished by now? Aren't
you
hit your deadline?
Yep.
And how many chapters
called running
away?
A business and having a family.
And how many chapters away from the deadline are you?
You don't want to know. It'll get there. It'll be out. I even said to Stephen, this is the thing. You need to take yourself away from people, society, and go in a hotel room for about a month and just get fed. And that's it.
And did he buy it? Did he go? Yeah,
bird.
I'll do that. I'll send you to a hotel for a month.
No, he didn't, Stephen. No.
Yeah.
No.
Don't blame him.
No, he's all right and he's off, isn't he? Yeah. Soon, tomorrow. Oh, you have a nice time, love, on business. I'll stay here.
And well, there you go. You can lock yourself in your bedroom.
Yeah. I haven't got two businesses to run now.
Get your kids to slide toast under the door or something.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
No.
Cool. Anyway.
Yeah, you're all right. Anyway, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's going on in business?
Well, let's get a show started, shall we? Let's do that. Yeah. So I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at Cyberfort Group. And Cyberfort are, as it implies in the name, cyber protection specialists.
F-O-R-T.
F-O-R-T, yeah, Cyberfort Group. And they're cyber
protection.
Yeah, they're cyber protection specialists. And they also help you... not only set up your protection, but they help you defend what you do. And if you do get attacked, they help you sort it out. So do check them out, cyberfort.com. And thank you to them for sponsoring the show. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses out there in the worldwide world of Southeast Kent and various other places that people seem to listen to these days. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could call me on 01233 220035, but
we don't answer
the phone anyway. So
you
But you could try calling if you wanted to, or you could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker.
You know what we should do?
What's that?
We should do a competition.
Yeah.
So people ring in, and if they get through, I'll give them a copy of my new book when it comes out in February.
if we accidentally answer the phone.
Yeah. If we actually answer it, you've got to get us to answer it. It's no point just letting the phone ring. But yeah, could you imagine it? Mm. We should do that, you know.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I do.
Have a phone-in competition.
Yeah. It's funny. I spoke to a guest the other day, and I said, look, I want you to come on my show, The Conversation.
You've got
and
a show?
Yeah, it's on Wednesday, 1 till 2.
Is it?
And I said to them...
Don't promote it, though.
No, I won't.
Okay.
And I said to them, you know, I'd love to see what, you know, you've got great value and love to see you serve on the show and blah, blah, blah. I said, why don't we do a phone-in? I said, no. Mm-hmm. I said, that's not what people want anymore. It's like when you say to people, listen live. Mm. People don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
You know, and people are really stuck with it. Oh, let's do a phone-in. I'm like, let's not.
We don't have the resources to handle phone-ins properly anyway, because
we don't need to tell people that.
No. But it's dangerous because the phone rings in the studio here, which is why I don't answer it half the time. We don't have anyone to intercept the calls.
You can. Pardon? You can intercept the call.
Yeah, but not while I'm on air, can I?
Of course you can. You're a great producer.
She's so funny.
Anyway, business. Tell us what's new in your world.
We've opened a new extension to Fruitworks on Monday.
How's that gone?
Yeah, it's open.
Are you on that sell? Do you employ salesmen to sell the space?
No.
What do you want then?
We need to occupy the space, but I don't have any sales team that does that. We're fairly lucky with Fruitworks that we tend to have a waiting list of people waiting to work there.
Mm-hmm.
This is slightly different because it's a new thing, because we've not had individual office units before, which we have now. So the waiting list is still kind of waiting for hot desking. So basically we've just gone round to the existing ones and gone, about time you had an office on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I mean, we'll fill it fairly quickly because there's a demand.
Yeah.
For high quality, cost effective.
So if there's a demand and you're oversubscribed, are your prices, what are your prices looking like?
Cheap.
Cheap?
Yeah. Cost effective.
That's better.
That's the whole ethos of a community workspace is to make it easy to use with no leases. You know, you just rock up and use it. So even for private offices, we're looking at £400-£500 a month. It's not a lot of money.
How much?
£400 or £500 a month, depending on the size of the office. Yeah. And, you know, that includes everything. That's the rent, rates, electric, free tea and coffee, biscuits, Wi-Fi, hold your hand, all that stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah, we'll fill it quickly. But that's been occupying us.
Nice.
And, yeah.
Anything we should be doing in business at the minute?
Well, until our politicians get off the... We're not going to go anywhere, are we? We, you know, the business basics 101 is basically not to prevaricate over something. If we know where we're going, doesn't matter where we're going, as long as we know where it is, we can adjust.
Yeah.
All the time we don't know where we're going, we can't make decisions. So everyone I speak to is stuck in that limbo that says we're waiting for someone to make a decision. Once they've made a decision, then we'll react to what we have to do to go forward. And that's where we are. Had a really interesting breakfast with the FSB yesterday, which was really good fun.
Yeah, they're thanking you, which is really lovely, eh?
Sorry?
It's really nice that they thank you.
Yeah, it was. And we've had a good year with some good projects. We'll talk about that later on the show as well, the 30-30 project. We're now through 1,300 kids that have been through the project, which is really good. We're really pleased. And the FSB has started to roll it out nationally.
Mm.
So we're really happy with that. So we were kind of kicking around ideas for new things we were going to do next year.
Nice.
And my main one, if anyone knows anyone, we're going to put a seminar together for careers teachers.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
what do you want from people for that? You said if anybody knows...
So anyone knows a careers teacher in a school or governors of a school,
okay.
It's going to be free, so there's no cost involved, but we want them to come along and hear from businesses.
Mm.
Yeah, and we want to start building relationships between these people. Mm. So that's what we're looking to do next year.
Nice.
Mm. There you go. So I'll tell you what, should we do a tweet or an email?
I thought he was going to go in a cheesy tune then. I thought you were
too early, yeah.
I know. Well, let's go straight into it. Kent Business School is organising the third Kent Business Summit held at the University of Kent Sibson Building on the Canterbury campus on Friday, the 10th of January, 2020. Of course, we're going to get all this now, aren't we? We're moving into that next point.
It's and a it's new, new decade.
It is.
Yeah, it's the 20s. It's not the noughties anymore.
No, you're right.
Mm.
Interesting.
It's the roaring 20s. You need a flapper skirt.
You can't do that when I'm in the middle of it. Right, 9 till 4.30. This event is made possible through generous support from the head sponsor, Crowe, and media partner, KM Media Group. Over 400 Kent business leaders. I was one of them last year. You were one of them last year.
Yeah.
Local government, decision makers and academic experts are expected to attend the
And me and Bird.
County's flagship event, I am the cover girl actually as well, to work constructively on tackling regional... I am, Matt. It's true. I am. Wasn't I?
Yeah, she is. Her and Deb Turner are on the front.
You won't believe it. I am so sensible at these things. And the one moment that I'm laughing at the key speaker, she's doing weird things at the front at me. They catch that moment and then use it as their business.
Yeah, so
and I have people going, don't you ever take business seriously? I'm like, Anyway, no. On tackling regional challenges and how to promote Kent as a sustainable, innovative, forward-thinking and outward-looking county. Full details of the day's programme and a booking link can be found here. It's on www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. I've got a very funny story to tell you. I wonder if the agency are going to be there.
Agency?
You know. The agency that we absolutely slate every week.
Oh, them.
Probably. Please turn up because you're part of our sustainable, innovative, forward-thinking future Kent.
Yeah.
Putting us on two lanes last year.
Because there's a whole section on transport as well.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please turn up.
So they won't turn up, will
they? Of course they won't. No. Who's accountable for them?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant.
Yeah. Well, they would have come, but they couldn't get down the motorway. Yeah, okay.
I was going to say to you, we had a business meeting with somebody and her initials were WWW.
Really?
I tell you, I was going wibbly wobbly way. Stephen's going, you can't say that. I'm like, I can't get that out of my head now. World Wide Web. I wonder if she's known as that.
That was her full name. What was her name then?
I can't tell you. It's a bit funny, isn't it?
I can't think of many women's names beginning with
Wendy.
Wendy, obviously.
That's her first name.
Yeah, Wendy. Can you think of any other Wendy?
And then
Wilma. Wilma.
No, it wasn't her middle name. She was a double-barreled name.
I was thinking of Christian names. Wilma.
She was a double-barreled one of those names.
Oh, right. Like,
I had a double-barreled name.
Wilson Wallop or something.
That's funny, but no. Anyway.
Ryan, what else you got?
Oh, you want me to go?
Yeah, go.
You're having me do all the work.
Yeah, I'm
welcome to the Grapevine Network Group Limited, an exciting new dedicated property networking event being held once a month from October to December 2019 and then twice a month membership from January 2020. Do you say 2020 or do you say... 2020. Yeah. How else would you say it?
And what's the alternative?
That I just thought about that.
Yeah.
I answered my own question.
2020. Yeah.
2020.
Yeah.
Excellent. This networking group is designed to attract property-related companies with the capacity for new business and is set to grow into other locations and business sectors in the coming months. We would like each guest, where possible, to bring one other property-related guest with them to the meeting, being sure to bring along lots of marketing material. Hey, look, this is the meeting agenda. It starts at 5:30. It then goes on. They do a welcoming. They've got the director of Mirage Design, which is Bethany Rossiter. Then they do a 90-second business introduction. If you can keep your introduction to 90 seconds, I'll be amazed. You know those 60 seconds? They never keep to them. Guest speaker and then an open networking. And then they go on to do a further networking in the bar where I would imagine a lot of the business is done. And there is plenty of parking. which we love, in the front and the rear of the hotel. And this is for you to contact Bethany, which is on our website, which is www.mirage-designed.co.uk. And this is the Marine Hotel in Whitstable. Nice. Go on to eventbrite.co.uk, and it's a massive link, but just look up the Marine Hotel. And this is the Grapevine Network Group Limited.
And we're a fabulous guest speaker at the next one.
Who is? You.
Me.
Are you a property investor?
No.
That's even better.
That's made you laugh, hasn't it? I don't know anything about property. That's why I'm the guest speaker.
I just sold two properties and I've got a beautiful tax CGT, I tell you.
You've got a beautiful what?
CGT.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. Better to pay it, eh?
Yeah.
Because that's the profit you make.
Absolutely. So I'm the guest speaker at the next one. I don't know why.
Talking about what? That's even funnier.
What?
What will you talk about? Don't talk about biz. Don't talk about property.
No, I'm talking about networking. Apparently.
Oh, right. Okay.
Had a tweet from All Health Matters. Please can we have a shout out on the Business Bunker for our slowdown day campaign resources, which have just been released on our website. So this is All Health Matters. Lovely firm over there in Folkestone and Canterbury. And they have offices in London as well, I do believe. Julie Monk is the CEO. And they have campaigned for what they call a slowdown day, which is one day we take it easy and chill out and kick back. And they've got some free resources. So if you go to their website, which is allhealthmatters.co.uk, and then go /slowdown day, you can see the free resources they've got.
Well, there's two things actually to follow on with that about health. So Ethel Bray have just tweeted us in with something, and it says, when you're not feeling great and you go out for some fresh air, how can you not feel better when this, there's a dog gif there, when this chap takes delight in a ball and a muddy puddle? And I agree. So go for a walk, go and change your energy, get outside. And then we've got another one that leads on with that health, and that's surviving winter. And the cold winter months are extremely dangerous time for older people, especially those who live alone. And the Kent Community Foundation Surviving Winter campaign, I love this, by the way, aims to take social isolation and make winter less lonely for older people, as well as helping them stay well, healthy and independent. So there's three areas here. So this is Ashford Volunteer. They've been doing it since 2016, and this is the Kent Community Foundation. And they have been awarded £18,500 to the Ashford Volunteer Centre. And their mission is to have a society where everyone wants to volunteer and can do so in order to create a stronger community. Then you've got Involve Kent. So over the last 10 years, Involve Kent has received grants totalling £75,000 from Kent Community Foundation to coordinate support for people living in Maidstone and Morling who need that little extra help to stay well and live at home. This is vital. There's a theme. People want to stay well and they want to be in their own homes. And then you've got Who Cares. Who Cares is a community interest company created to support individuals on the Ho Peninsula. Or is it Who Peninsula?
Who.
It's not the same as like Plymouth Ho. That's got an E. This is a Who. Who's a Who? Who? Why are you looking at me?
Because you're in Kent now. You're not in pirate country.
Who Peninsula? I'm so sorry about the rudeness in the room. Who cares? Help people.
We're from Plymouth, aren't we? Hey? We have Plymouth Hole.
Lonely and cut off from the local community, and has received £10,500 from Kent Community Foundation. Do you know what? This transport is an issue in the peninsula. And the Who Cares? Get people to medical appointments, take them shopping and take them to local groups. So here's the website. It's www.ashfordvc.org.uk. The next one for Involve Kent is www. Oh, you didn't know I was going to do that, did you? Involvekent.org.uk. Now you've got to think of another one.
Okay.
Wendy Bob Bob Bomb. Yeah. And then you've got www.
Well, it's obviously Wendy Wilson Webster, isn't it?
Whocares.org.uk. Hey, really important. And to follow on from that, I know you're going to say, sharp, sir. But did you see that they had the volunteers? They were doing something on the Leescliff Hall. Again, this volunteering, they did like a volunteering conference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about it.
They should have told us, shouldn't they?
Should have told us.
Mm. I just had a message from Amanda.
She's given us a great gift, by the way.
Oh, is she? Yeah. Typical. She's actually listening to us on the telly, she said.
Well, are we on the telly?
She's listening on the telly.
I always wanted to be on the telly.
Yeah, she's listening on telly, she said.
Oh,
so that means she's wrapped up on the sofa. That's what she's trying to say, isn't it?
No, she's working.
She's not working if she's watching us on the telly, because the telly's in the other room.
Working with a laptop.
Oh, I'm sure she is working with a laptop, yeah. But she's not working in the office. She's on the sofa listening to us on the telly. Giveaway, huh? I've had a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings, and they say, Vanillaware Bird and Bike, we know that you're announcing the full list of finalists on today's Business Bunker show for the Ashford Awards, but we're so excited to be finalists in the category for Startup Business in this year's awards. And we'd like to say congratulations to all the finalists and to wish everybody good luck. And good luck to you too.
Yes, I was pleased to see them on it.
Yeah, Amanda's just said, I am working.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. And looking after a suck child. I think she means sick child.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Going back to the Ashford.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Hyde and Fox in Saltwood?
Have I been where?
To the Hyde and Fox in Saltwood.
It's no, but they're one of the finalists.
They are.
Yeah.
Now, you've got to take Amanda. It is you've got to go to this restaurant. It's amazing. They're in Saltwood, right. In Kent, which is just above Hyde.
Yep.
And they are, it's really interesting. I've known one of the family members for about 13 years, and this is the grandson, and he's gone away and did a Michelin star in Wales and then has come back to his home county.
Right.
And they started this restaurant, I'm going to say about 6 months ago. The food is amazing.
What kind of food is it?
It is high-end. I would imagine...
small portions?
I would imagine he's going for that Michelin star, but the flavours are
very small portions. Yeah, okay.
The astronomical flavours. If you are not a heathen and you'd like to go to a restaurant, go to the Fox and Hyde in Saltwood.
We'll try. I'm going to read out all the finalists in a bit later on in the show. But yeah.
But what's interesting, and I said this to them, I said, actually, you've now got this lovely little reputation. Now comes the key to it all, and that's consistency. How do you keep that traffic coming through, you know, with that price point, with that marketplace that they've got, which is high end?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Go.
Cool. I'm going to play some cheesy tunage now.
What is it?
It's quite a long track. So
is it a cloud?
You might get it fairly early on.
Do you know?
Go on, shout out if you know what it is. It's Jimi Hendrix. Of course it is. It's Voodoo Child. Ah.
I see what you've done there. No, I do. I see what you've done.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's quite a long track.
Do we need John Lee to keep talking? Let people enjoy it, Paul.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. Bit of voodoo child there. We're going to be talking to Matt shortly from Voo Service, hence the link, and a few other things. I've got a couple of emails that I want to read first. Alzheimer's Dementia Support are looking for 3 new trustees. Have you got the skills, time and energy to help change the lives of people affected by dementia? Find out more. But you can follow them on Twitter at @ALZDemSupport, or you can go to their website, alz-dem.org/become-a-trustee. So let me give you that again. alz-dem.org/become-a-trustee. If you're interested in becoming a trustee of the Alzheimer's Dementia Support Group, please do get in touch with them. And on that note, I did read this out in full last week. I'm not going to do it again because it's quite long.
But I wasn't here.
I know you weren't, but it is a very long email, and I can't read the whole thing out because it makes me cry as well. It's from my son, Stuart, my youngest son. And I'll read you the opening paragraph and then you can read the rest on the website. After a 3-year-long battle with vascular dementia, my amazing grandmother, Enid, sadly passed away in July 2019, having celebrated her 93rd birthday a few months earlier. Despite suffering numerous strokes and heart attacks, she continued to live a very full life, focused on friends and family. She was not only a wife and mother to 4 grandchildren and a grandmother to myself and 5 other grandchildren, she was also a great-grandmother to the latest addition to her much-loved brood. I'm not going to read the rest of it. You can read the rest of it on the website. But Stu is doing 2 things to raise money for Alzheimer's research. He's got an entry and he's running next year's London Marathon.
Is he?
He is indeed. Cool. Yeah. And he's also, and this is perfect for me, he's giving up alcohol for 6 months. And if you knew Stu, that is much harder than running a marathon. So he's got his entire page we have up on the website if you want to read about it. But if you'd like to make a small donation, and you can read about it at Just Giving, donations will be gratefully received at justgiving.com/fundraising/StuartAndrews1111. So justgiving.com/Stuart-Andrews11. Do check it out. Read the rest of his story. It's a very touching story. Please donate if you can.
Cool.
Good. I also want to tell you, while we're talking about such things, about Works Diverse. They're very excited to announce their collaboration with I Trust Assure. And they've got a workshop on speaking out. I Trust Assure manage whistleblowers, basically. They help people that want to raise questions about things that they're not happy about. And they support them and give them help. And Works Diverse are an organisation that audit equality and diversity in the workplace and how you're doing. And they've joined together to run a Speak Out workshop. And it's Speak Out on Diversity and Inclusion. If you want to go along to it, it's eventbrite.co.uk, Speak Out Diversity and Inclusion. So do check that out.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you can follow them both on the Twitter, Works Diverse, at Works Diverse, and at I Trust Assure. All one word.
Cool.
Cool.
Visit Canterbury prepares to promote the city internationally for 2020. 2020 is set to be a significant year for tourism in Canterbury, as several events in the city will put Kent on the map for international attraction. Now, the events across the city and the county next year include, and this is quite a long list, but listen, because this is brilliant what's going on locally. This is Beckett 2020. This is Canterbury marking 850 years since Thomas Beckett was murdered. You can't do that in my weird eye line. Was murdered in Canterbury Cathedral. Medieval events are planned with a focus on pilgrimages and highlighting Canterbury UNESCO. Is it UNESCO?
UNESCO, yeah.
So we're
celebrating 1,000 years of knife crime now, aren't we, really?
See, I can't believe you've just done that in my eye line. It's just crazy. People don't understand what I have to tolerate sometimes.
I know.
I'm trying to be professional here.
Sorry.
The Lambeth Conference, Canterbury, July to August, a gathering of all active bishops with the Archbishop of Canterbury, happens once every 10 years. The 400th anniversary of the Mayflower in Canterbury, one of the first pilgrim voyages to America organised by Robert Cushman, who lived in the city. The 75th anniversary of UNESCO World Heritage Site. I'm just going to quickly just go through them. The Folkestone Triennial, one of the UK's most ambitious public art projects, attracting 135,000 visitors. Just going on to that, I know you said, and thank you for that, because you were really, really kind to me, Paul, about when Shane Record was on. What a great show was that he picked.
Absolutely, it was fabulous.
Wasn't it? He was amazing. So Shane Record is one of, well, the top artists in Folkestone, and the support he offers his community is immense.
To be honest, being sincere for a moment, that was a fabulous show. I really enjoyed
brilliant.
Listening to it. No, you were both brilliant. You were both really good.
I just could have listened to him forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you've got 149th Golf Open, and that's in Sandwich. You've got Dreamland's 100th, the Margate theme park that turns 100 next year. 150th year anniversary of Kent County Cricket Club. And then you've got the 150 years since Charles Dickens died. Strong literary links to Rochester and Canterbury. You can go and look at all this online at www.
That's the Wendy Wilson Webster website.
Canterbury.co.uk/membership. Uh-huh. Anybody who's listening to us new, I've got nothing to say.
You're just silly, aren't you?
I'm just trying.
Yeah, yeah, very trying.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome back onto the show. He has been on once before, so he's a veteran of the show, but it's a pleasure to welcome him back, Mr. Matt Parkinson. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
It's an absolute pleasure, and we're really keen to have you back, because I want you to just tell the listener about the businesses you run, which is Vinters IT and VU Servers. Just give us a bit of overview of that, because I know you've come along to tell us about some new stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, so Vinters we launched last year, which we came on to talk to you about then. So that's a managed service provider, so dealing primarily with managing IT infrastructure for clients. Primarily kind of in Kent and the southeast region.
Right.
We've then got VU Service, which is now getting on for close to 15 years next year. And we primarily deal in IT infrastructure and more recently over the past few years into managed cloud infrastructure. So similar to what Amazon and Microsoft are doing, but on a smaller scale, a lot more local and a lot more personal.
So do you run a server data center?
Yeah, so we have one in Maidstone, one in Frankfurt, and then New York and Seattle as well.
Woo, international. Yeah,
yeah. So a lot of time in the US, which is now kind of one of our biggest markets, really, outside of the UK. And we really kind of pushed that when the whole kind of Brexit discussion first came up.
Yep.
A lot of our clients were kind of looking at not putting on hold their plans for Europe and instead starting to reach out into the US. So we had several clients that came to us wanting to launch in the US, and we were already doing infrastructure in the UK, and we're able to do both, really.
Okay. And just because it interests me, these kind of things, what kind of technology are you deploying in your server farms?
So both Microsoft and Linux technologies.
Right.
So that will be anything from pretty much most of the Microsoft suite, Red Hat Linux, a lot of Oracle recently as well. So,
right, okay.
And they're kind of Oracle's one of our biggest products now. And although we have our own cloud products, we still deal with Microsoft Azure and Amazon Web Services, and really kind of driving this multi-cloud approach, which is kind of what's come up over the past year and really kind of where things are going. And a lot of the cloud providers are starting to become open to that multi-cloud setup.
Right, okay. So, and you've come along today because you've got some new products that you're going to talk to us about. So give us an overview of what you're kind of moving towards there, Matt.
So building on that kind of multi-cloud ethos, really, we...
Can you, just for those that don't understand, what I mean, a lot of people have kind of understood what a cloud is.
Yeah.
It's a computer owned by somebody else, basically. what do you consider multi-cloud?
So multi-cloud now is really kind of what they're driving. So rather than having or committing into Microsoft Azure or Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud, they're really kind of saying we'll take the best from all of those products and bring them together to give you the best overall solution.
Yeah.
And it's something that kind of Microsoft are probably leading at the moment. A lot of their tools, they're really kind of pushing to work with any environment, any cloud, and supporting all of their products, even actually running on Amazon Web Services as well, which is obviously their biggest competitor.
Right.
So that's really kind of where multi-clouds come in over the probably the past 12 months more than anything. It's really starting to take off.
So are you kind of implying that if you are a user of Google Cloud, but you can still use 365 as part of that kind of thing?
Not so much the 365 aspect of it. It's more so Azure Cloud and services. So it will be things like their data analytics services.
Right.
And the biggest partnership that they've done over the past 6 months is actually with the Oracle Cloud. So you can run your Oracle databases on Oracle Cloud, and then they have a connection over to Azure to use analytics and artificial intelligence and those kind of areas, which Microsoft are really big on.
Okay. So from your point of view, what's the impact on you? What are you bringing to us that can help us with this?
So one of the big areas that's kind of being discussed as well is about data governance. So when you put your data up to the cloud, obviously there's a big reservation around kind of where that data is actually going.
Yeah.
And what's kind of been discussed as well recently is, although that data is in the cloud provider, you're ultimately still the one that's responsible for it. So on that basis, we've kind of launched a cloud which we're trying to kind of keep local in Kent, and really kind of allowing people actually to enjoy cloud services, but also know exactly where that facility is.
Absolutely.
And actually come and see the facility. So you can actually
see a cloud.
Yeah. So you can contact us and we'll give you a tour around the facility.
Fantastic.
And you can see exactly where it all runs.
That's important. It is important. I've my background's IT, and I've worked in IT since Noah was a lad. You know, these things come around and go around and they get renamed and stuff like that. But one of the big worries for people about cloud computing is just where is their data and who's got it? Yeah. So I love what you're doing because you can kind of go and see it and you can visit it. A bit like sponsoring a lion at the zoo, really, isn't it? You can go and look at your lion. But you can see it. And being serious, I mean, that alleviates people's concerns and worries to some degree.
Yeah, exactly. It's having that ability to actually talk to someone who can tell you where that data is, give you that reassurance on that data as well.
Yeah.
Data is the probably the biggest asset to companies these days. And a lot of people are trying to find how to get that value out of that data. So the last thing you want to do is kind of be putting that somewhere where you haven't got entire control over it. And the hyperscale cloud providers are doing new services and enabling things like customer-enabled encryption, which basically means even they can't see your data. But there is still that thing, it's particularly when you come back to data laws, is that you are the one that's still responsible for it. And it's just being able to talk to someone and actually find out, well, I've got questions about my data and really get really specific answers down to your own data rather than kind of the generic information that is provided by the hyperscale providers.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. A lot of people are getting concerned now about artificial intelligence and robotics. And, you know, we're all going into one of those chicken little things where we go, we're all going to die because robots are going to take over the world. And, you know, I saw a car without a driver and that means we're all dead kind of thing. But for me, one of the big glaring things from a business point of view that opens up is the possibility of providing personalized services that are based on human beings, because with all the will in the world, automation can still have major problems, and if it goes wrong, it really is a nightmare to try and sort it out, you know, just really silly stuff. I had an incident the other day. I won't bore you with the details, but one of the automated processes I was using for a personal service that I was using went wrong. And trying to put it right was just impossible because you went around in this deadly loop that said, no, you've got to upload, you've got to put your password in. I can't put my password in because no, but you can't do that because you can't put your password, yada, yada, yada. We can't reset your password because you don't know what, you know, da-da-da-da. And the problem with that is you ring up and you tell people the problem and they go, don't know how to get around that. So having someone there that you can talk to is the ultimate customer comfort. And so I love what you're doing, and I think that's really, really important.
Do customers know, and I'm just looking at your website now, so do customers know what you're talking about? And that isn't me being rude.
Yes,
but have you know, no, it's really not, because you've got dedicated servers, virtual servers. So I would come to you, because I think, yeah, I need to come and see Matt. Do you find that you have to start educating them in the language that you use? Specific to cloud servers and
it's getting less and less because of the hyperscale providers. They're the ones with all the flashy adverts, putting them out, making it kind of wider known to everyone.
Yeah, sure.
So it's getting easier, but again, it is that thing of, particularly if you're a startup company or a small business, you don't tend to have an internal person who's got that technical ability. So going on to the Amazon portal or the Microsoft portal or anyone and trying to work out exactly what services you need is quite difficult. And that's kind of where we can help.
Yeah.
Where I was saying about the multi-cloud environment, we don't just sell our own products. We sell Microsoft products. We sell Amazon products, really to kind of try and help our clients get the best of all of those. So that's kind of really where we see a lot of our job is explaining how to use those services and actually make the most of them as well.
And that's a really, really important part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is that explanation and that hand-holding and that help for people that are technically incompetent.
Yeah. No, it is, though.
It is.
Probably most of us are.
I'll tell you this. A couple of months ago, I spent a day with the Minister for Small Business and a group of management consultants. And we were looking at the government are concerned about low productivity rates. Yeah, we've got high employment. There's loads of things happening. We've got growth in the economy. It's not mega growth, but it's better than most of Europe. Yeah, it's still down at the 0.3% growth, but it's growth. And we got wage growth. Yeah. So there's loads of positive things happens until you look at the productivity figures, and our productivity figures are nestling down at the bottom. So we spent a day kicking round the idea of trying to understand why productivity is low. And to cut a long story short, there's two trends that are happening. Most business in the UK is driven by small businesses. Yeah. There's 5.8 million businesses in the UK, 99.7. I'll tell you that statistic again, 99.7 employ less than 250 people. So they're small businesses. The Federation of Small Business recently did a survey of members, and they found that an astonishing, and this is astonishing, an astonishing 76% of small businesses don't have a digital presence. Yeah. So
people don't believe that.
I know,
you just
but
can't, can you?
Yeah, but what they mean by that is that they don't have any digital presence at all. A lot of people that own a business will have a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page or a Twitter account or whatever, but they don't have a business presence. Yeah, they don't have a business Facebook page or a business website or a business LinkedIn page, and they also don't use the tools that are available well enough, like cloud-based tools, like apps that you can use to do things, yeah? I'll give you an example. I own a business. I won't tell you what it is because it could... but I own a business that puts tradespeople in touch with people that want a particular service. And one of our biggest benefits is that we have an online calendar. Really simple application, yeah? But for end tradespeople, their timekeeping is appalling. You know, if you've ever booked a plumber or an electrician,
been through that experience.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they go, oh, I'll come on Wednesday. And then you sit in and they don't turn up. And you go, where were you? And they go, oh, sorry, mate, I got delayed. But we have an online calendar and time management system. And when we first give it to our tradespeople and go, you have to use that, they go, oh, I've got my own. And we go, yeah, but yours is rubbish. Yeah, you have to use that. And if you don't use it properly, we're going to tell you off, yeah? And it's amazing how much more productive they get when they get the discipline of having to work to that calendar. And that's just one simple app. You know, there are loads and loads of productivity-based apps and software in the cloud that's available for small businesses to use. So the outcome of that meeting was that people need to understand it. The reason they don't use it is they don't know how, and they're scared. They're scared of the technology because they don't understand it. So what you're saying, Matt, is absolutely true. You know, holding people's hands through this is the important bit about it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is every company has data, no matter how big. And it's a lot of companies don't actually try and find the value in that data.
Yeah,
And that's another area that we try to get involved in. Is it's not just kind of onboarding that data into the cloud, but then actually enabling the tools so that you can find where the value sits in that data. And we were saying about targeted posts earlier.
Yeah.
But that's something that you can do with your data. And there's tools available, one with Power BI, for example. Mm. And it just makes analysing that data simple and telling a story with that data, which really kind of enables you to make better business decisions as well. So.
Absolutely. But when you talk about it to small business owners, they kind of get scared, don't they? Because they go, oh, that sounds really complicated to me. But it's actually not very complicated, really, Ethan, is it?
Not really. I mean, a little bit of hand-holding is required. But after that, you start to realize. So Power BI, for now, example, has got a natural language in it. So you basically type in exactly what you want in a plain phrase in English. And it just works out from the data that you've loaded in exactly what the question is that you're asking it and gives you the answer.
Right.
So they're making it so simple these days. And it's just a really interesting area to actually kind of look at. And you start to realize things that you didn't know about your data. You had perceptions of that data, but then you get the real figures in front of you. And it's like, it's a completely different.
And sometimes that can be quite scary, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And although, funnily enough, I'm an idiot for looking at my stats, website stats and stuff. On one of my websites, I was looking at the stats earlier, and I just logged onto my stat package as I do on a regular basis, and I did a double take because we'd had a massive set of hits. But I knew immediately what it was. We'd been attacked because you could just tell from the stats that we'd had a website attack. Yeah, because the page views didn't link up to the unique visitor views, and it's a mob in France that are forever kind of called Isla that are forever attacking websites. Yeah.
Matt, we were just talking about this off air as well. So Microsoft Ignite, what did you come away with it? Conference at Microsoft.
A lot of enthusiasm, really, for exactly what's happening in not just cloud environments, but Microsoft products in general. One of the big things that they were really emphasizing this year was on cybersecurity and also automation as well. Mm. So how to keep your data secure and easily as well. So they've got new tools they released, which basically analyze your environment, and it tells you against the best practices exactly where you are. And it really kind of makes at least bringing your security level forwards a lot easier. Mm. And then around the automation side, they've got a new tool called Power Automate, which was renamed from Microsoft Flow. And that helps you use the data that you've got in Office 365 and Microsoft Azure to actually start automating some of your processes.
Do Microsoft lead the focus in what we should be going into, or do we as the marketplace lead focus?
I think it's a mixture of both,
really. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That you will find a lot of times that people at Microsoft release tools and they just don't get used at all.
Yeah.
Another side, they have at the conference as well, they have user groups and roundtables to actually discuss new products that they're doing and new features. And they're really concentrating a lot more on these days of being a lot more open. I mean, anyone that's used Microsoft for many years will know used to be a very kind of closed company. And that's really opened up now. And there were companies on their exhibition floor that you would have never imagined to be in at Microsoft conference even just 5 years ago.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, Evexio had the Tech Expo earlier in the summer at the Kent Event Centre, and one of their keynote speakers was Brian Sutton from Microsoft. Did you hear his talk?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was really interesting because you're absolutely right. He was talking about products and where Microsoft are going in future. But he was very open about, along the lines you were saying, Matt, about talking about other people's products as well and what Google are doing and what Amazon are doing and how Microsoft are trying to work with that rather than, you know, compete with it all the time. And he was also very open about some of the things that they developed that just didn't work, you know, from, you know, Windows 8 onwards kind of thing. And how they, you know, they've it's like anything. You try something and the public, it doesn't even mean it's a bad product. It's just the public don't take to it. So it becomes a non-product because nobody uses it.
Yeah. I mean, you have to realize as well in their picture, a few hundred thousand users is
nothing.
No, but to a company that had launched that product that wasn't Microsoft, they'd probably see that as extremely successful. So it's a bit of a kind of balancing kind of act.
Matt, fascinating stuff that you're doing, and all power to you expanding your business, but bringing it to people in a way that they can relate to it. And for me, that's really important because, you know, as we go into the world of small business, which is the world now, you know, 61% of everybody that's employed is employed by a small business these days, and that will only continue to grow. So we do need that expertise delivered in a meaningful way so that people do understand it. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to make use of those tools. So all power to you and what you're doing. If people want to find out more about all the things that you've talked about today, what's the best way to do that?
So we've got our main website, vooservice.com. We also have a new kind of landing page, which is just thekent.cloud.
Right.
And that's really kind of focused on the local kind of cloud aspect that we were talking about.
Thekent.cloud.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a registration form on there that you can go through, and then we'll get in contact with you to discuss things further.
Fantastic. So vooservice.com?
.com, yeah.
And thekent.
.cloud, yeah.
.cloud, like it. I see what you did there. Fantastic. So do check those out. VooServers is on the Business Bunker website already, and we'll put the Kent.cloud on there too so that people can find it. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Matt Parkinson, thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you for having me.
Cool. We've got loads of tweets and emails coming in, and we need to join the newsroom shortly. I've had this. This is going to be debauched. Jill Serkin has tweeted me. As she says, can I have a shout out on today's Business Bunker show for Serenity Becker? 15 years in Swalecliff, Serenity Health and Beauty, and they've got an open evening tonight. Can you imagine those two at an open evening with free wine?
Who two?
Serenity Becker.
Right,
Rebecca Nutt and Jill Serkin.
Yes, yes.
The two ladies that went to lunch at the Good Shed, the other day, and were still at lunch at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Not 1 p.m., 1 a.m.
A lot of business got done there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, what kind of business? Anyway, congratulations. Seriously, congratulations to Rebecca Nutt, Serenity Becker on the Twitter. 15 years in Swalecliff, Serenity Health and Beauty. And it's their open evening tonight, so do get along and say hello.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's 2020.
It's what?
Is another alternative. 2020.
Yeah.
Tracy Ferguson
said.
Oh, I see. 2020.
Right. As opposed to 2020.
Yep.
Yeah. I think 2020 is going to become the thing, isn't it? Because it's a thing anyway, isn't it?
I always say 2012 or 2014.
Well, 2020
or
vision, isn't it? So there'd be lots of puns on 2020 vision, weren't there, for a whole year, which will be boring.
Are you bored today or something? What's going on?
Why?
You just keep saying the word boring.
I'm bored.
You can see. That's nothing personal, Matt, at all, love.
No, it's
honestly.
Not Matt, it's you. It's just being boring.
Marsh Breakfast Networking on the 28th of November from 7.45 till 9.15. This is at the Ship Inn at Dimchurch. And you need to go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
Cool. Thank you for that. And we've just hit it right on the nose as we join the newsroom at Channel Radio.